All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show going until 7 this evening, going until 7 tomorrow. So we're busy the next couple of days. But time always flies when Matt Shook comes on the program. And Mr. Shook, I know it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but I was actually impressed with last night's second half by the Pistons when you consider the sixth game of a road trip, changing time zones, coming from L.A. And all that kind of stuff. They could have mailed in that second half, and probably nobody would have even noticed. And instead, they got out a 115-113 win at Cleveland.
Yeah, it was nice. Nice to see. And like you said, the limited roster right now with all the injuries is an issue. The end of the six-game road trip, those are always tough games for teams across the league. And they fall behind there and come back in the third quarter and fourth quarter, led by Derrick Rose and Andre Drummond, a couple of guys who are in the news and maybe could be in the news in the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, let's talk about Andre first. I think it started on Friday, the trade rumors. How serious is this talk, or is it just it's January and we're bored and we needed to come up with something?
Yeah, so Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN.com, reported that there have been ownership-level talks with the Atlanta Hawks and that separately there were some inquiries put in by teams like Boston and Dallas and Toronto as well. Since then, some other reports have indicated that maybe Cleveland could be interested in getting in on some of these talks too. So there's some teams that could be, you know, but the price is going to be low for Andre Drummond. He's essentially an expiring contract, given that the indication is he's going to opt out of his player option. But, you know, some of the language from the report from Wojnarowski implied that this was something that's really truly going to happen, that he's going to get dealt before the February 6th deadline. I think the Pistons would be wise to do that. Like I said, the issue is that they've waited too long and that the return's going to be a lot lower than it would have been a year ago or so. And that's kind of a pattern with this organization right now. Blake Griffin, apparently, you know, you could have maybe gotten something for him a year ago at this time, but they wanted to see where this thing was going. Didn't go very far, obviously, and now he's pretty much untradeable at this point until the surgery that he had yesterday possibly heals, and maybe a year from now he could be someone who could possibly be traded. And I think they're doing the same thing with Derrick Rose, too. So I think that Andre Drummond probably will get dealt. I believe it will be to Atlanta, but the price in return is probably going to be something like an expiring contract or two and maybe a protected first-round draft pick. But I think the Pistons should try to drive up the price, try to hold out for more. But my guess is that's probably just going to be what the return is.
And this is more of when Brady Beaton and I were talking about it earlier in the week. Because I said, man, it just doesn't feel like you're going to get a whole lot for Andre Drummond. And Brady's point was, just get his money off the books. And now you can tank without really trying to tank. If you don't have Griffin, you don't have Drummond. Now maybe you lose enough that you're a lottery team and you can get maybe an Atlanta lottery pick, depending on how far it's protected. Obviously, if it's the number one pick, Atlanta's going to keep that pick. But maybe you get two picks in the top 15 this year, and that's what you get for Andre Drummond.
Yeah, and in addition to the Atlanta pick that you're talking about, the most realistic option is that they end up with the Brooklyn pick, which is Atlanta has the rights to right now, and that's lottery protected. But that's actually a pretty good situation for the Pistons because Brooklyn, for all intents and purposes, is probably going to make the playoffs and barely this year because there's not a lot of teams like the Pistons who could step into that seventh or eighth spot. So I anticipate that they will make the playoffs. So that's a pick that's going to be right around 16, 17, 18, maybe even 15. And then you throw the Pistons pick in there, which is going to be, you know, something like, I would imagine, 7, 8, 9, something like that. And then you have a chance at that lottery, a realistic chance, just like New Orleans did and won last year. But yeah, this isn't a great draft, so I don't necessarily propose a full-scale tank for this year just because there's just not a lot of incentive for it. I mean, yeah, it would be nice to have a chance to get the number one pick and get Anthony Edwards, but it's not like there's Zion or Ja Morant out there right now that's a guy you need to really be thinking about losing on purpose for. But like you said, getting rid of Drummond, sitting down Blake for the rest of the year, you're going to lose a lot of games unintentionally anyways, and that's a good thing, and it's good to have the young players getting their minutes along with some of the veteran core as well to kind of just be leaders and not lose every game you go out there, because that's a damaging thing as well. So I think they're, the good news is, given Blake's injury and given how disappointing this season has gone, I kind of think it's the best case scenario for this franchise that they're being forced into making moves that they wouldn't have otherwise made that might benefit the organization in the years to come.
With 74 points in his last three games, is Derrick Rose playing to get traded?
I would think so. I mean, he's playing well. I mean, whatever his motivations are, the reports today are that the Pistons won't be trading him unless he requests a trade. Now, that's kind of posturing. That might be trying to drive up the price a little bit. And I wonder what Derrick Rose would say if management were to come up to him and say, hey, the Los Angeles Lakers are on the phone, or hey, the Philadelphia 76ers are on the phone. These are teams that could go play in the NBA Finals, possibly win the NBA Finals. So being a competitor like Derrick Rose is, being a guy who I would imagine would rather be playing in the playoffs as opposed to sitting at home and possibly winning a ring, which he hasn't won in his career, I would think that these would be things that would be enticing for him. So I wouldn't close the door yet on Derrick Rose being traded. And if I were the Pistons, I don't have a problem with them posturing and saying whatever they want to say at this point. But I do think that there could be deals that would be out there, and that would be another move that would benefit this team long term as well.
I know if there was an answer for this next question, you would be an executive in the NBA. But how is it that the Pistons can't beat teams like the Charlotte Hornets, but have regularly now over the last, 3 to 4 years, beaten the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, they own the Warriors, right? And obviously this is a little bit different of a Warriors team than the past. What's strange about this is you look at the Pistons, quote-unquote successful year last year, 41-41. The main reason that they went 41-41, and outside of the Charlotte Hornets, who were mediocre last year, they really handled business against all of the bad teams in the NBA. The really bad teams, the four dregs that I called them last year, it was Phoenix, it was Cleveland, it was the Knicks, and I think the Hawks might have been the team. They were undefeated against all those teams except for one loss late in the season against Cleveland. This year, if you want to look for reasons outside of the injuries for why the Pistons are struggling as much as they are, they are 7-10 this year against bad teams, teams that were projected to be worse than them in the Vegas projections coming in the season. So 7-10, I mean, being 500 against bad teams is bad. To be significantly under 500 against bad teams, that's an issue. So you're 0-4 against Charlotte, and you've lost a couple games to Washington. There's just really bad situations out there. So other than the injuries, if you're looking for the biggest reason that this Pistons team is in a tailspin, that's a 7-10 record against bad teams is pretty high up on the list.
Two guys getting some minutes right now who weren't on the radar earlier this season, Sekou and Sfi. How do you feel about how they've been playing?
Hey, you got to feel good about it, especially Sekou, right? He's started, I think, 4 games in a row now on this West Coast trip and into Cleveland as well. The poster that he had last night against Tristan Thompson out of nowhere just dunked all over him, and Pistons getting a lot of national attention on the Sports Center type of shows because of that. 19 years old, youngest player in the NBA, and that he can get it done defensively at an adequate rate and also defensive rebound, which is going to suddenly become important if you trade Andre Drummond, because he was pretty much did rebounding for your team over these last several years. So that's a skill the Pistons are going to need to be looking at in the future that maybe they didn't have to look at these past couple of years. So I think Sekou, they're probably overjoyed. They got to be overjoyed about what they've seen from him at the NBA level over this past week. And as far as Sfi Mikhailiuk, I think he's stepped up his game defensively to the point where he's not terrible. He's just kind of a regular bad defensively. The stroke is really good. It's sweet. It's as good as most any three-point shooters form in the league. He's a guy who's got a little bit of playmaking skills. I think that could develop over time. He doesn't do very well going to the basket, but he's shown a willingness to do that. That's a skill that could possibly develop over time as well. And I really like his offensive feel. He's a guy who can get open. He knows what his skill is. He knows he's a shooter, and he knows how to go ahead and get his shots, as evidenced by the fact that he's still the all-time leader in three-pointers made at Kansas, which is a school that's obviously had all sorts of success on the basketball court. So, yeah, that's two guys in addition to Bruce Brown and Christian Wood and Luke Kennard that have had a lot of good moments this year. And, again, more reasons to be cautiously, slightly optimistic about the future of the Pistons.
What about Kennard? Because if he weren't injured right now, you know that would be a guy other teams would be really interested in.
Yeah, I do wonder if he didn't have the knee tendonitis that he's out with right now, if he'd be a guy that would possibly get traded. Because, you know, obviously you want to trade the veterans and get the young players, and Kennard's a young player, so he doesn't quite fit into that formula. But when you're rebuilding, all the chips are on the table. You got to make whatever move you think you can make to make the team better. And I agree with you that if he was healthy, there's obvious places that you can plug him and play him on really good teams, contending teams. You got to give him an extension possibly this summer, so you're going to have to start paying him big money in a couple years, which is, that's natural and that's fine. But is he really the type of player that Dwayne Casey is going to want to play over these next several years? They've butt heads a little bit. It hasn't seemed like that Dwayne has found a good way to consistently get Luke Kennard going. And we know about the fact that Dwayne Casey wants defensive studs out there, and Luke Kennard's not that. Again, he's proven to be almost adequate defensively, so there's been some improvements there. But, yeah, I wonder, of this young core, which of these guys is still here 2 years from now as opposed to where you might envision this roster right now. And I don't know if Luke Kennard's necessarily going to be here for the long term. He could be a guy that might get dealt this summer as well.
All right. And again, if you make a Drummond trade, it gives you a little extra spending cash maybe this summer, Matt. I know we're not going to get any big name guys. Mm-hmm. We're not maxing out LeBron James or anything like that. But are there guys out there in the mid-range level with the money that the Pistons will have that could come in here and help turn this around sooner than later?
No, there's not a lot of guys. In fact, Andre Drummond's probably the most high profile other than Anthony Davis, who's not going to leave Los Angeles, but he'll technically be a free agent this summer. There's not a lot of teams with cap room, and there's not a lot of guys to spend cap room on. So this is kind of a dud of a summer. That being said, like you said, the Pistons could have some room if Andre Drummond's off the roster. And the name that keeps popping up is a Dwayne Casey old favorite from Toronto, and that's Fred VanVleet, who's going to be a restricted free agent, I believe, this summer. And if the Pistons can extend a big money offer to him, which they will have the ability to, nothing like a max, and he doesn't deserve a max, but if you want to say something about like $18 million a year for a few years, and Toronto, if they're looking at their long-term team and saying that maybe VanVleet doesn't quite fit into that kind of dollar amount, it's possible the Pistons could make a run at a player like that. But I would recommend that they use their cap space in the way that traditional rebuilding year teams do, and that's basically using them in trades to take on other teams' bad salaries and in collecting assets within those trades. Similarly to how the Milwaukee took on John Lewis' bad money from the Pistons last year, and that was a little bit of a complicated trade with Tony Snell in the first-round pick. But you take bad money away from other teams, and in addition to that, for your trouble, you get draft picks or young players that have some potential that maybe haven't fulfilled that potential yet. So I think that would be the ideal way to use that cap money that the Pistons will have.
You say VanVleet, and I say, can you say Jody Meeks?
Yeah. Stan Van Gundy's first free agent that he signed, Jody Meeks. Yeah, just a guy that showed some promise, but then when he got to Detroit, didn't amount to much. See, my point is that instead of finding another gem that another team unearthed and paying him big money, why don't we be in the business of trying to find our own gems that are affordable, go find second-round picks, go find undrafted free agents, and turn those guys into good players? We haven't seen the Pistons quite do that yet. They're doing it a little bit with Bruce Brown. Who knows if Jordan Bone becomes one of those players as well. But continue on that path as opposed to writing big checks to players that everybody sees and everybody knows and everybody wants to some degree.
That'd be too much work. Hey, tell them about the podcast.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons. It's interesting times. Huge numbers on downloads, and we're talking Andre Drummond trades all up until the February 6th deadline. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Locked On Pistons every single day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dennis.
All right. There's Matt Shook. We got to go. Dennis Stuckey Show back tomorrow from 5 until 7 here on WPHM.